Lord God, once again we thank you for this day. Once again, Lord, we invite your presence here. Fill this place with your love. Fill this place with your spirit. Fill us with your word. 2,000 years ago, you came to the earth. You walked the earth. You lived a sinless life. And you died on a cross to pay our price. Lord, you're amazing, Lord. Open up heaven for us this morning, Lord. Open up our hearts to receive everything you have, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to start with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Everybody know who he was? The Prince of Preachers. I think he's being a little bit sarcastic in here. We venture to assert that if there be any day in the year of which we may be pretty sure that it was not the day on which the Savior was born, it is the 25th of December. Regarding not the day, let us nevertheless give thanks to God for the gift of his dear Son. You think he's being sarcastic? We don't know what day it was. You know, from what I understand, if you adopt a baby and you don't know when its birthday is, you give it a birthday. Can't we do that with our Savior since we don't know what day it is? December 25th is the darkest, coldest, emptiest, loneliest time of year. When Jesus was born, it was the coldest, darkest, emptiest, lonely time of history. I've always thought it was very fitting. We need it in December, don't we? We do. Whatever day it was. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. But we're going to cover about 4,000 years of history first. That shouldn't take too long, should it? Actually, it won't. I've got some scriptures. Genesis 3, 9 through 15. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom you gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Put enmity between thy seed and her seed. From what I understand, a woman doesn't have a seed. So what are they talking about? Jeremiah 31:22. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Not every commentator agrees with what this means. Not every commentator agrees with this interpretation of this verse, but many do. As far as I can tell, no other place in Scripture does it say that a woman will do this. And we are told that this is a new thing in the earth, a new thing, something unprecedented. And it also says it's something God will create. The Hebrew word is bara. It means to make out of nothing. No man will be involved in what the woman will do. The word compass in Hebrew is sabab. It means to go around, to avoid, to turn aside from a man. The Hebrew word for woman is used as used here appears in the Bible only 22 times. It means to pierce, to bore. O thou backsliding daughter refers to Israel. So what is implied here is that the result of this miracle, this new thing, will cure or forgive Israel's backsliding, her sins. And ours as well, right? Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Micah 4:8, and thou, O tower of the flock, Migdal Edar in Hebrew, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. The tower of the flock was where the shepherds watched over their sheep. Micah chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travails hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. Jesus is the bread of life. Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah in Hebrew. There's a blessing that's said before the taking of the bread and the taking of the wine. In Hebrew, it's Brukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ho'olam Homotzi Lekim Mien Haretz. That's for the bread. Homotzi Lekim Mien Haretz. Who brings forth bread from the earth. Does that sound familiar? If Jesus is the bread of life, what does that have to do with him being brought forth from the earth? Of course, we know that after 3 days, he was raised from the dead, brought forth from the earth. Ephratah, the Hebrew blessing for the wine is Barukata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ho'olam Bori Peri Hagafen. That word peri is in Ephratah. That means he gives us the fruit of the vine. The bread and the wine, or grape juice, right there in Micah. It's talking about Jesus, isn't it? Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Given. It doesn't cost us anything. a son is given. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Once again from Charles Spurgeon. A Savior is born to you, born that you might be born again. Galatians 4:3-6. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 through 20. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. The days were accomplished. As I said in Galatians 4:4, it was when the fullness of time was come. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says that there's a time for every purpose under heaven. He has a time for everything. We may not always agree with this timing, but he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? The days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Yes, it's talking about the time of the Savior's birth. It's talking about when the baby would be delivered. But I always found the wording of that interesting. It's a time that Mary was delivered. And it is, isn't it? It's a time that we're all delivered. Some people think that Mary is equal to God. I believe Mary needed a Savior every bit as much as we do. I believe Mary even said that. If you go back to the previous chapter, in chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. Does Mary need a Savior? Yes, she did. She was born under the curse. We're all born under the curse. Don't get me wrong. Mary was, what she did and what she was willing to go through. She needs to be recognized for that, but she's just a human, like us. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I know in the Bible, or King James Version, it says a manger. There's no articles in the Greek, so a or the aren't in there. So I prefer the. A manger could be any manger, but by saying the manger, it's a special one, isn't it? The one that was designated. What's a manger? It's a feeding trough for animals. the sheep would go and they would devour the food in the manger. Isn't that what Jesus tells us to do? He actually says in John chapter 6 to eat my flesh and drink my blood. We're to consume every part of him. Partake of him. Verse 8 and 9, for there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Angels appearing. How would you react if all of a sudden an angel appeared to you? They always say, fear not. John, when he saw Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, fell on his face as a dead man. I think I'd probably do the same thing if an angel appeared. It just, wow. You notice it's shepherds that they came to first. They didn't go to see, the angels didn't go to see the kings, didn't go to see the priests, the religious leaders, shepherds. Why was Jesus born in a manger? Or laid in a manger? Why not in a palace? Because he had about as low a start as anybody. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The degree of joy is dependent on how much we believe, isn't it? Is everybody going to experience joy because of Jesus? No, they have to receive it. It's a gift, but it has to be received. We learn that as children, don't we? During Christmas, if there's a present under the tree for us, it's not ours until we reach out, we take hold of it, and we open it up, and we receive it. It's the same with Jesus. We have to receive him. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He didn't become a king. He didn't become a savior. He didn't become Lord. He was born a king. He was born a savior. He was born Lord. Verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. He was wrapped, wound tight. It kept him from thrashing around, maybe hurting himself, maybe bruising himself. They did that with the sheep, with the lambs when they were born. Because these were special lambs. These were lambs that went to the temple for the sacrifice. And if they had a bruise on them, they were imperfect. And Jesus was perfect. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. Something else I find interesting is that in John 19:40 and Luke 23:53, we're told that at his death, he was wrapped in cloths, strips of linen, and they laid him in a sepulcher. Kind of goes full circle, doesn't it? And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. Suddenly, God likes to do things suddenly, doesn't he? Jesus says, behold, I'm coming soon. I think what that means is suddenly, because it's going to be suddenly. It's going to be when we least expect it. It's going to be, oh, there it is. All of a sudden, God likes to do things suddenly. Soon, well, there's that. His soon is could be thousands of years. No, I think it means suddenly. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men. To give glory to God does not give him something that he doesn't already possess. He does possess it. And he always has. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Let us now go. They're being told to go to the Lord. When are we supposed to go to the Lord or come to the Lord? Now. Don't delay. If that's you and you're here today and you don't know the Lord, don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Now. Verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. They came with haste. They came with haste and found. Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. They knew what they'd been told, what they were going to find, and they found it. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. When we come to the Lord, aren't we supposed to tell others? The Bible tells us to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. They marveled. They were amazed. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She literally threaded them together. I don't know who said it. It might have been Chuck Swindoll. It sounds like something he'd say. But whoever it was said, the things we treasure deep in our heart, we don't soon forget. Do you treasure Jesus deep in your heart? Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. They were doing their job. They were performing their duties, even though they didn't realize it. Because part of their duties was inspecting the Passover lamb, making sure it was perfect. They were sent to where Jesus was to determine that he was perfect. They were faithful to their duties. praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They didn't see until they had heard and obeyed. You know, we could hear the words of a preacher or the words of the gospel over and over. But if we don't take it to heart, if we don't believe, it doesn't do us any good, does it? If you're not here, if you don't have Jesus Christ and you're here, then you can give yourself the greatest Christmas gift you'll ever receive by just choosing Him. The Bible says, turn from your wicked ways. That means repent. That's part of believing. If you need to talk to me about that, then come see me. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, for the changes you've made in our lives, that you brought us out of the miry pit. You set our feet firmly on the ground. You sent from above. You took me. You drew me out of many waters. You delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord is my comfort. He brought me forth also into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. It's you, Lord. You did that for me. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to save us. Thank you, Lord, that each one of us could say that if they were the only person to have ever lived, you still would have died to save them. Lord, I pray that you'd be with your people today. I pray for your blessing on us, Lord, your presence. Your presence, Lord. It's the only present I want. The only presence. Your presence, Lord. Fill us with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dave?